This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Invest Talk, November 20th, 2014. And I do appreciate you being with me. This is the show for the average investor to become above average. Anybody who has an interest and can commit some time and study can improve their results. It's not that hard. We're not talking about rocket science here. We're talking about learning some basic principles, understanding how the market works, understanding what drives stocks, and then find that information, find those stocks. It's not undoable. It's what it is. You do have to spend time at it. And this is where most people that even have the interest fall down. They just don't have the time. So, but maybe this show can help you with that. That's what we do here. And I enjoyed meeting with some of our listeners yesterday in San Ramon, Northern California. These are individual meetings that I do a couple times a month. I review listeners' retirement accounts and share my opinion, talk about what they want to do with their money, and if I can help them, I try to do that. It's not all about getting new business for me. I do it for that reason, but I enjoy the meeting people and helping. I really do. And that's why I like doing this show. The show is all about marketing for KPP Financial, my firm, but I also enjoy it. It's fun to learn about people's life situation and goals and try to help them reach it and enjoy those who have reached it. It's kind of interesting. So they're really good for me because I get to see the real world out there, what people are really facing, you know, as far as retirement and what they could do. And so I really get a lot of satisfaction and a lot of knowledge for myself. Now, we talked earlier this week about defining your investment philosophy. Remember a few days ago, before you come up with an investment strategy, what is your philosophy? So what is an investment philosophy? And there's a definition of it. Investopedia defines it, a set of guiding principles that inform and shape an individual's investment decision-making process. So a set of guiding principles. Do you want some examples? Okay, I'm going to give you examples of some of my guiding principles. I never buy stocks that don't make money. One of my principles, buy stocks that make money. I never buy stocks that are not growing their sales. I want stocks growing their sales. See, that's a principle. You could also, can refine more. I mean, I got lots of other rules that we fly by. You could say, I only want to buy big companies. That's the principle. I want to take less risk in the market when I buy stocks. I want my portfolio to be conservative. Now, those are principles. Now, how do you achieve them? How do you be conservative? How do you be less risky than the market? There's ways to do that. And so you have this overall principles of what you're trying to achieve. And some people say, I want growth. I want dynamic growth in my portfolio. Those people are going to take a lot more risk. They have to. That means they have to buy high-growing stocks. Oh, many high-growing stocks are selling at high P/E ratios, and many stocks, if they fail to meet those growth expectations, get crushed. If they don't, they rise, and they meet or exceed growth expectations, they take off. You see, so set up your guiding principles, and then you have to learn how to put together a portfolio that matches those principles. It's kind of fun. It's not hard. It really, you just have to understand it. It's a philosophy. What's your philosophy? Anyways, but for now, let's hear your voice on the mic. You know, these are my principles I give you, but everybody has different ones. But this show is about listening to you, taking your questions. Do you have a question? You can call our 24-hour listener line anytime you want. This one came in after yesterday's program at 888-99-CHART.
This is Adam Thomas from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Great show, guys. I appreciate all the effort and time you put into this show. I wanted to know if you had any comments on the pro or con side to writing covered calls. I don't hear much about it discussed, and just wanted your opinion. Thank you.
I like writing covered calls. And for people out there, let's say you have a group of stocks that you own in your portfolio, and they're kind of boring, they're not really going anywhere. Well, you could write covered calls on them. You could write them if they are going anywhere. You can write them if they have covered calls, you can write them. What that does is it gives you, when you write them, you're offering, I don't know how much do I want to get into this, but you get a premium for holding, for offering a call. Someone, it could be called away from you if it reaches a certain price. It can be called away from you. For that right to be called away from you at a specific price, you collect a premium. If the stock never reaches that price, you just get to collect the premium, and it lasts 30 days. Then you get to write another one, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. And some call it insurance, because I don't want to get into it because it can get complex. I like the principle of a covered call. Yes, I have no problem with those whatsoever. But it's not for everybody. You have to know a lot. You can't just do it. Let me rephrase that. You can just do it, but you'll do it poorly if you do. You have to understand what drives the market. Remember, you're guessing in a 30-day time frame what's going to happen. So you're collecting a premium. But it could be called away from you. That stock can be taken out of your portfolio if it reaches a certain price. Well, that's the risk you take. Everything has risks, right? In the marketplace, everything has risks. And you have to learn what those risks are. Now, experimenting with examples of asset mixes can show you where your portfolio shines. Asset mixes. Remember, we have philosophy, but then you need to mix. You've got to add the things into your portfolio that matches that philosophy. So now you have a mix of assets. The asset allocation puzzle. That's going to be one of our talking points today. And you really have to understand how assets work either in conjunction or opposite of each other in your portfolio. Because you don't want them all to do the exact same thing. Why not just buy one stock then? Well, then you're taking a huge risk in one thing. So you want to mix different kinds of assets. And that's going to be one of the talking points. I think that would be very interesting. Economic data this week. There's none coming out tomorrow, basically. But we had a bunch of economic numbers. Were they good or are they bad? Were they okay? I'm going to go over some of the numbers. Not all of them, because a lot can come up. But I think it would be instructive for us to review those numbers. I do that every so often. Small and mid-cap indexes are at inflection points. They're not. Everybody hears about the S&P. Everybody hears about the Dow. Everybody hears about the NASDAQ. Those basically three indexes are big companies, not the small and mid-companies. So those indexes are moving differently. I think we need to look at some of the small cap stocks. They're the ones that had the hardest time this year so far. The hardest time. So what's going on? And I wanted to get to this the other day, what people worry about in retirement. What are they worried about? So what are you worried about in retirement? Now I got four things I'm going to share that people, this is what they worry about. So the reason why I'm going to share these is that, okay, we worry about this, so what steps can we do to hedge ourselves not to worry about this? What can we do? What can we do to not worry about these four things that people seem to be worried about about in retirement, going into retirement, being in retirement, or approaching retirement? And you can do things. We'll talk about that. Those are what we're going to discuss. What's on your mind, though? That's important. What did the market do today? Well, the Dow was up 33, the NASDAQ up 26, and the S&P was up 4. So still eking out gains, right? Just eking out. And those three major indexes were eking out gains, slowly but surely. And it's crawling up the wall of worry. That's not necessarily a bad thing, by the way. That's not necessarily bad. Crawling up a wall of worry. I'd rather have the market crawl up than spike up. I'd rather have it crawl. We had a spike down that wasn't, you know, that down 10%. Then we had a really sharp spike up to regain that 10%. And ever since we've gained that 10%, now it's crawling up with very little volatility. We had huge volatility in September, October, but not in November. Just crawling up. What does that mean? Does it mean anything? I love watching the market. Just interesting. It is interesting. I think it is. Anyway, Mark Faber is a well-known contrarian investor, betting against the market and making enormous profits if he's right. So what is a contrarian investor? What does that mean? We're going to look deeper on InvestTalk 101 as to what a contrarian is. I think that's fun. You have to be somewhat of a contrarian. Don't always have to be, but you kind of want to think in those terms. You want to know what they are. What are they? 888-99-CHARGE, how you can reach us right now. You're any money topic you're interested in, we'll talk about it. We're going to talk to Bill and Hayward about Pandora next. Then it's your turn.
InvestTalk continues now with portfolio manager Steve Peasley on this Thursday. If you're a podcast listener who lives a distance from our California offices, you can still get together with Steve for a one-to-one portfolio review. Steve schedules a limited number of these on Skype. And to sign up, just go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Bill and Hayward. How you doing, Bill?
Doing well, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was wondering your take on Pandora, and the reason I'm asking is I purchased some shares earlier in the year at a substantially higher price than it's trading at now. I just want to get your take on what do you think's ahead for them, and possibly, what's the possibilities for the stock, either ride it out or cut my loss.
Okay. Fundamentally, it's pretty strong. Fundamentally, technically, looking at a chart, it's pretty weak. Okay, and that's so. Let's talk about that. Remember, I mentioned philosophy. This particular stock, if your philosophy is all about growth and high growth, this is the kind of stock you would buy. It's Pandora Media, offers personalized streaming music based on analysis of users' listening behavior. Pandora.com, mobile software. Very one of the first online music people. They are growing their sales 40 to 50% a quarter. Earnings are going to be up 233% this year and 160% next year. So then why did it go from $40 a share back in March now to $19.40? I just gave you great numbers, and this is why. Remember, if it's a $20 stock and they're making 52 cents a share, that's a 40 PE based on next year's earnings. So based on 2013's earnings, this thing was selling for 200 PE. And based on 2014, this year's, this stock is selling at, it's going to make 20 cents. So you can see it was just really expensive, Bill. Okay, but it has great growth prospects. So at this point, I think you hold on to it. Because it went from cut in half. At this point, I think you hold on to it. You kind of be a contrarian. If it drops below $17.50, you might give up at that point because that is its recent low. But I think you hold on to it. Okay, Bill?
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks. Because it's a sound company. They're making money. They're growing sales. Eventually, they'll get rewarded if they can keep that up. Can they keep it up, though? One of the problems is Apple is coming out with their own sound music system. That might kill them. Listen on the go with our TuneIn Radio app. It's free. You can download it for your iPhone or Android anytime you want. It's right there on InvestTalk.com.
Thanks for subscribing to our podcast. And if you're ready for a portfolio review, why not take Steve up on his invitation and sign up for this free service? Appointments are on a first-come, first-served basis as the number is limited. And Steve can do these by Skype if you're not near one of our California offices. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting. This is the Thursday, November 20th edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Dana shows investing in the stock market is a low-risk way to preserve principal and generate positive returns. The odds are good for buy and hold investors. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. Please join us then. Still plenty of time to get through today. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Michael in San Francisco. How you doing, Michael?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Hey, you know, there's been a lot of talk about a lot of people moving money into high-yielding dividend paying stocks because of the low Fed yield.
Yes.
How, as the yield increases, how quickly will those stocks be impacted by people moving, say, out of them?
Well, if the yields, people have been searching for yields because they can't get in CDs and money market. They can't get it in the traditional ways of making money and interest rates on bonds because interest rates are so low. So over the last few years, people moving into the dividend paying stocks, and that has driven them up pretty sharply, okay, over the last few years. Now, if the yield starts to fall, Michael, if the yield starts to fall, I don't see it necessarily meaning that everybody will leave. Because remember, they bought these dividend yield stocks at a lower price, and the stock keeps moving up. They still get that old yield that they got. If it was 5% when the stock was half the price, today it's double the price, and you buy it today, you only get 2.5%. At some point, that stock is to such an overvalued price that it starts to move down. And that's where you're looking for. Where's the inflection point? And Michael, no one knows where that will be when they start moving down. When they do, it'll be a stampede out of the doors. When that might happen, might not be happening for several years. It might be next month. No one knows the time of these things. No one does. I would suspect when it might happen is when our economy starts to slow and maybe go into recession. When people think that's going to happen, that's when you're going to see a stampede out the door on these things. They'll be going down sharply. Appreciate the call, Michael. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, everybody's been, I like dividends. Everybody likes dividends. And what happens if you bought a stock 2 years ago and the dividend was really low, really high, and now the stock has run up? You know, and the year yield, you're getting 5%. Now today, they're getting 2.5% for new buyers today. Okay, what happens when it gets down to 1%? The stock keeps going up and up and up, and they're still paying the same dividend dollar amount. So what you really want long for, what you're looking for is if you're a philosophy. If your philosophy is, I want to buy big stocks that pay good dividends. If that's your philosophy, then you want to look also for stocks, big stocks that not only pay dividends, but also grow their dividends every year, increasing their dividends. Now, that could be your core philosophy, your core group of stocks and your core philosophy. Big companies paying dividends. Okay? It depends on you. It's always individualistic. That's why you want to kind of determine what kind of investor you are. And then once you come up with that, once you do know that, then make sure that the portfolio matches your philosophy. And that takes us right to back to asset allocation. Make sure the allocation, the assets in your portfolio, matches up with the philosophy that you're trying to, that you operate under. And so therefore, for instance, if your philosophy is, my philosophy is, I want to be in the market to grow my money, but I don't want to take a lot of risk. Okay, well, the stock market in and of itself is risky. But you can mitigate your risks. How do you do that? How do you implement that philosophy? Asset allocation is one of the ways you can do it. You can buy assets that at times go in opposite direction of each other. And that kind of offsets the volatility. It also will retard your growth, the increase in the value of the portfolio. But, what kind of assets do that? For instance, stocks generally don't go in the same direction necessarily as precious metals. stocks don't necessarily go in the same direction as bonds. Sometimes they go in different directions than commodities. Stock of cash never goes down in value except when inflation hurts it. Inflation reduces your buying power of your cash over time. But we have hardly any inflation. See, so there's things that you could do. Maybe different parts of the market, let's say emerging markets, may move differently than the U.S. market. See, this is the asset allocation. How much should you be in these different places, and how do they interact with each other so you can develop a portfolio that matches your philosophy with proper asset allocation? And I'm thinking, am I losing people? Your eyes rolling up in your head saying, what the heck is he talking about? If you don't do this, then your philosophy can never be implemented, and you'll not achieve what your goal is. Everybody's goal is to grow the money, but just saying it doesn't make it happen. You have to understand what you're doing. You can do it. It's not that hard. You just have to understand it. Okay? Got questions about investing terms that maybe I'm using, that you hear on Invest Talk here on the show? I bet you're not the only one. So if you have a question, don't hesitate to call. I explained shorting at length today to a new employee at KPP Financial. What is selling a stock short? Maybe you don't know what that means. Give me a call. Be happy to answer any questions. 888-99-CHART.
Continue now with Invest Talk, and you're invited to bring any money question to Steve right now. 888-99-CHART.
You drive the discussion with your questions, not me. I will talk. I got lots of things I'll talk about, but really, what you fill in the, you give me the questions. I'll try to fill in the blanks that you might have. You can reach us anytime you want. Whenever a question pops in your head, 888-99-CHART is how you do it.
Hi, Stephen, Justin. This is Ross from Leeds in England. I listen to your excellent show via the podcast. I own Walgreens, which is symbol WAG, and would like to hear your view on that stock, and I wondered whether you think it will go higher. Okay, many thanks, and have a great day. Thank you. Bye.
You know, there's some place I'd like to go someday. I've never been to England. Well, I take that back. I'm sorry. I was at the airport once for about 4 hours. I really need to go. I really would like to go someday. Anyways, Walgreens, WAG is the symbol, operates 8,309 drugstores. So, all over the world, all over the United States and Puerto Rico. Not the world, but the United States and Puerto Rico. They're a good, solid, big blue chip company. Is that your philosophy? You want big blue chip companies? Well, this is one. This could be a core holding. They're going to make $3.59 this year. Okay, Their fiscal year is last year was 2014, was $3.28. So their fiscal year has already been passed. 2015, which would be this year for them, is going to be $3.59, and then $4.40 next year. That's up 9% this year, another 23% next year. Sales growth at 5 or 6%. Well, you're not going to get huge growth with a $64 billion company. You're just not going to get it. Now, at $4.40 and $67 stock, okay, you're looking at a company that's right around 15, 16 PE, and that's market PE. So it's not cheap, it's not expensive, it's at fair value, right about where it is. Because it's not growing fast enough, and it can't. So right where it is fair value, and they're paying a 2% dividend yield. So if it was me looking at a chart, it looks like they're coming off a bottom of around $60. That's where you really would like to pick it up. It's at $67. It's not overpriced now, but it's kind of it's fairly priced. It has gone up as high as $75 last June. Then it had a bad earnings. It dropped it all the way down to $60, and it was hanging around there and just recently started to move up with the market. So It does nothing for me exciting-wise because it doesn't have the growth prospects I like. And the dividend's a little bit weak with only 2%. So it's not enough for me to say, hey, I really like this stock. I can't say that. I think it's a good blue chip stock that you buy when it's on sale. And right now it's not really on sale. Walgreens, WAG. Good company. Really good big company. Don't think it's not. It is. So, and it'd be a good core holding if your philosophy is I want some big blue chip stocks that are consistent and I want nice dividends. I'd look to see if they've been increasing their dividends. They did increase it last year. Have they been doing it for years and years and years? And if they are, well, that's a good sign. They probably have. WAG, everybody. Okay, well, let's talk about the economic statistics are out this week. Okay, I don't always bring them up because, you know, they're kind of boring to recite numbers and everything. But let's see, on Monday we had industrial production. I think they're important. And what is important is you're looking for trends in these numbers to see how the economy is going. Why is that important? Because what drives stock prices is earnings. What drives earnings is sales. What drives sales is an expanding economy. So if you want the market to go up, you want an economy that's healthy. And these economic statistics help you decide that. Monday we had industrial production. It was down 0.1%. They expected it to be up 0.2%, but it was down. And the month before was up 0.8%. So it went from 0.8% up growth to minus 0.1%. And capacity utilization of our factories also went down. It was supposed to go up a tick, and it went down several ticks. So that's not necessarily good. Not necessarily bad. It's still pretty high, so it's okay, but you want to be watch this for any change in direction. Inflation numbers. Inflation numbers are flat, and you know there's more danger at this point of deflation, but we still had a little increase in inflation, but it's still way below the target that the Fed wants. We want inflation in our system. Everybody in the world wants inflation. Why do you want inflation? Because everybody in this world, every government around here in the world has borrowed money, and if they can inflate their currency, make it worth less in the future, then they can pay, it can be less painful. If they get deflation, it's a lot more painful. Housing starts and existing home sales. Housing starts fell from 1.04 million to 1.01. But existing home sales rose 5.17 million to 5.26 million. And they expected that to fall a little bit, but it rose. So that the housing market is still pretty stable. For November, though, we get a couple of statistics out for the November, and there was market PMI, Purchasing Managers Index, that fell from 55.9 to 54.7. Anything above 50 is indicating growth, and it's at 54. Even though it went from 55.9 down to 54.7, it's still well above 50. We are still growing our economy. But again, this is a number to watch. Why is that number falling? So is industrial production falling. Why is that? It should, you know, if our economy is gaining strength, it should be going up. Okay, but there was Philadelphia Fed, the region, that particular region reported today, and it went from 20.7 to 40.8. Huge increase. That's good. Also, leading economic indicators. It comes out once a month. Leading economic indicators. And there are 10 statistics they track in the leading economic indicators. All leading indicators. And it went from plus 0.8% last month to plus 0.9% this month, who had increased. One of the leading economic indicators of the stock market itself, by the way. So there's the week's worth of statistics. Not great, pretty good here in the United States. I thought that was something that I watch these every day. Every time I look, every day that some economic report comes out, I'm reading it. I like it. But you don't have to. But you kind of want to know what's happening with the economy. InvestTalk is brought to you by KPP Financial. We're a registered investment advisor. We manage money for clients all across the country. If you have a question about money management services of any kind, remember, we do it everywhere. I don't do it in England, though. Can't do it there. Including questions about any financial products, annuities. I don't like annuities, as you probably know. College savings plans. You can ask. Give me a call. And call. You can send me an email at investtalk.com by clicking on the Contact Steve button. You can also send one to Justin. There's a Contact Justin button there, too.
Above average investing for the average investor. That's what we're about on Invest Talk. Don't settle for second-rate results. Do what you need to do to reduce risk and improve performance. And if you need help with that, we're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Avesh from Atlanta, Georgia. I have a question on a stock symbol, GPOR, Gary Paul Orange Robert. I was wondering what's a good point to get in. It's in the oil and gas industry and natural gas. So I was wondering what your perspective is and what's a good point to buy this stock. Thank you. Bye.
Gulfport Energy Corporation. It is an oil and gas exploration, GPOR, engaged in exploration and production of oil and natural gas in the Louisiana Gulf Coast, Ohio, and Colorado. And the stock has fallen from $75 a share back in April. Today, it's at 54. It was low as in the low 40s a month and a half or so ago when the market overall corrected. Note that the stock went down with the market when the market corrected. It also is going down because oil is very low. At the same time, if you're looking at this, remember, it's oil and gas production, so higher prices helps them. At the same time oil prices are going down, their sales are going up. Okay, sales last quarter was up 147%. Quarter before that up 63%. Quarter before that up 115%. Quarter before that up 20%. Quarter before that up 14%. All in the right direction. But their earnings is not going up. Well, think about it. You can sell more product, but you have to sell it at a lower price, because the oil prices are going down. So it's a tough situation. What you need is oil prices going up for this thing to go up. And sales are doing great. They're increasing. Profit margins are getting squeezed. That's what the problem is. And their earnings per share is not going up. So they're going to make 47 cents a share this year. Well, they made 45 cents last year. They made $1.55 the year before. Next year, they're going to make about 47 cents a share again. So what's 47 cents a share worth? And it's not worth $54. Way too expensive. Why is it so high a price? Probably because the sales are so strong. But, you know, you need profits. You not only need sales, you need profits. Is it done going down? Well, where do you think oil prices are going? Really, that's the question. If you're going to be in the oil and gas exploration business, you want to own stocks in that sector of the market, your job is to determine where and when oil prices will start to recover. How do you do that? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think economies around the world are going to start to recover? Do you think we're going to produce more and more and more oil that we don't need right now? Or will economies grow enough to absorb all that extra oil? Is the OPEC going to cut production? Are we going to find more and more oil in a shale like we've been having the last few years? Are we going to produce more and more? You see, that's what we have to get into. Personally, I would probably not buy this at this point. It was up $2.96 today, though. That's pretty good. It's almost 5% one day. Pretty good. Okay, let's do Invest Talk 101. What is a contrarian investor? Now, Investopedia defines it, and you can go, investopedia.com is a great source, everybody, for definitions of things. Investopedia defines a contrarian investor as a style of investment that goes against the prevailing market trends. Okay, so if everybody believes the market's going up and the market is going up and everything is up, the contrarian would go the other way. The market goes down, everybody scared the market, gets out, they will start to buy. Okay, so they go in the opposite direction of the herd. Now, sometimes that can be very, very painful. I have personal experience of that because sometimes you can be wrong. There have been bear market pundits all through the 1990s, and they didn't turn out to be right until 2000. So 10 years they're betting against the market. They missed the huge run, but you don't know when the trend changes. But that's what a contrarian does. Goes against the prevailing beliefs. Forbes came up with five rules for contrarian investing. One, which I like the best. When you read about it in the newspapers or see it on the news, it's all over. It's already too late. Don't think about it. Don't do what's already out there in the news. Buy whenever everyone wants to sell, and sell when everyone else wants to buy. That's a very good rule. No one sees a bubble when their income depends on it. I don't think that helps you as to know the contrary. Don't take tips or advice, and don't believe research notes. Well, in my book, I said experts are always wrong, and never listen to tips from somebody, never. But that's not anything to do with contrarian. What is obvious to you is not obvious to others. That is contrarian. Contrarian investing has a reputation for being a successful tactic. You can be successful. The flip side of this is that running with the herd has a poor track record. Remember .com? Remember the housing bubble? When everybody's doing something, that's when you need to be a contrarian. But when is that? Is there a bell when someone tells you that everybody's doing something? That's the hard part. That's Invest Talk 101, everybody. So if you want to talk about that or anything else, give me a call, 888-99-CHART. And let's go to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, good. How you doing, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call.
No problem. What do you think of IPCM, the hospitalist company?
Okay. IPC, the hospitalist company. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Hospitalist.
I don't know.
Yeah. Provides hospitalist services via 1,760 affiliated hospitals. Hospitalist is at over 410 hospitals. 1,100 other inpatient facilities, okay? They are growing pretty solidly, 14-15% every quarter. Sales are growing. Earnings are $226 this year, then $251 next year. That's 11% increase. Very solid company, but it's small. It's very small. It's a $741 million company, so it's microcap. Therefore, it's going to be pretty volatile on you. I will say this. It looks like IPCM, it looks like a great place to buy is right here, low 40s. This looks like a really support right here. So if you're going to buy it, I think this is where you would consider buying it. Okay, Bobby?
Okay, what's the short ratio you have on your software?
There's a lot of shorts. There's a lot of
shorts. Yeah, that's the only thing preventing me.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily, if there's too many shorts, Bobby, what do you have to do to get out of a short? You have to buy the stock. That's called a short squeeze.
Okay.
So, we'll see. Thanks for the call.
All right.
We're moving into the last segment of the hour, everybody. Let's see if we can get your question in before we're done. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber, and we do want to hear your investing experiences. We've all grown over the years through our experiences, good and bad. You get to be anonymous, and the rest of us will enjoy knowing that we're not the only one to make a turn when maybe we should have gone straight. So we hope you'll join us on the podcast. Thanks for listening. Now, more Invest Talk from the Invest Talk Newsline. For all the hoopla about retailers opening earlier than ever this year, a survey shows that only 11% of U.S. consumers are planning to shop on Thanksgiving Day. When do you start your Christmas or Hanukkah shopping? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Ben in San Jose. Listen to us on AM 1220. How are you doing, Ben?
Pretty good. Hi, Steve. I've spoke to you in the past. I just had a question regarding a past topic that you've discussed.
Okay.
In the past, you've discussed low taxes. You said that that's a good way to invest. Can you expand on that?
Low taxes?
Yeah, I think in the past you've said that when investing in properties, it's good to have low taxes.
In property?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It was like maybe sometime back.
Well, when you buy property, you know, you're buying, I'm not sure how in what context I would be discussing taxes and buying property other than, you know, you can reduce, you know, if you're investing in the market, you got short-term and long-term capital gains taxes, and you got, you know, taxes you can defer with 401ks and IRAs. And in property, you know, you can, you know, there's not much you can do about it. You got property taxes, the only thing you worry about. But you also have long-term, you have capital gains taxes on property. And if you live in it and sell it, you get exemptions of like $250,000 per person, or if you're married, $500,000. Well, you don't have to pay. If you make that much money in your house, you don't have to pay any capital gains. If you live in it, and you have to live in it two of the last 5 years. If you just rent the place, and it's just a rental unit, you have to pay capital gains taxes on it from day one.
I see.
So you might want to live in your rental property for 2 years before you sell it, and then you don't have to pay any capital gains up to $250 or $500 if you're married or single. Yeah, depending if you're married or single. So I would be saying that, and I have said that in the past, and it's still true today. But a lot of people don't want to live 2 years in their rental property. You have to establish residency is what you're doing. And the IRS says two out of the last 5 years, you have to live in it, and then it is a residence, and then you don't have to pay capital gains on the first $250,000 or $500,000 if you're married or single. And you can avoid the taxes on it, which is really good if you have a lot of profit. Okay?
Okay. And then I had one other question, a quick question. Why is it so difficult to get a home loan under 100K?
Because banks don't make enough money. That would be one of the reasons. They really, you know, but I don't understand. You should be able to get it. You should be able to. But, you know, remember how brokers make money, the loan brokers? They make money on a piece of the action. In other words, if it's a $100,000 loan, they make a small piece of that $100,000, and it's a percentage. Now, I'm going to use this example. So if they make 1%, would you rather do a $100,000 loan or would you rather do $500,000 loan if you make 1%? That, you know, it depends on the broker you're dealing with, and it depends on the bank you're dealing with. So that a lower-priced loan, a small loan, they make less profits. But that doesn't mean they won't do it, because they usually will. But that might be why you might have trouble.
I see.
Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for the call. I've never heard a broker not want to do a deal, though, just so you know. They always want to do the deal. So what are people worried about when they move toward or in or approaching retirement? I got four things. Will Social Security and Medicare be there when I need it? Okay. People worry about that. Is Social Security and Medicare going to be there? It will be there. You don't need to worry about it. Social Security will not go bankrupt. Medicare will not go bankrupt. The government can just print money. Remember, they can always print money. It will be there. But also, Social Security, all they do is, they can do many things to make it. This is something that you should not worry about. It's not going anywhere. Will you have to keep working to maintain your lifestyle? Probably. Don't worry about it. Just assume you might, from the average person, probably will have to work sometime, part-time, whatever. Will you be healthy enough to enjoy your later years? Well, go out and exercise so you are. Don't worry about it. Just do something about it. Okay? And will the healthcare costs eat into my money I need to live on? Yes. You need to save a couple hundred thousand extra dollars for the health costs until you die before you retire. Yeah. You don't have to worry about these things. You got to do something about these things. Before we close, if you're an employer who would like to lighten up your workload and give your employees a better quality 401k program, take a look at the 401k solution we have at KPP Invest, KPP Financial Inc. Go to investtalk.com, click on Contact Justin. or write for just write 401k. We'll send you a complete information packet. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein, everyone at KPP Financial, we thank you for listening, and we hope you'll do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor.